I'm rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Well, I like that song. I think most of all of you do. Well, that song fits well with what we're going to study tonight. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of John, beginning in chapter 16 at verse 20. We're going to read a little bit there and then read a little bit of the psalm, and then we'll get a little bit more into the lesson. John chapter 16 at verse 20. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." Can you imagine hearing that from the Lord? You're going to weep. You're going to be sorrow, filled with sorrow. The world, they're all happy, going on about you. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. He says a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because of her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to that child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now having sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever you ask, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give to you. Boy, what did we just sing? Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Boy, you listen to these words of Jesus, and I think that's really encouraging. He's examining our lives in the future, especially the lives of those early saints. And they certainly had a rougher time of it than most of us today. And Jesus is telling them, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And your joy, the joy that we get from Jesus, and this applies to you. You see that there? The joy that you get from me, verse 22, no one will take from you. That's the joy we want to have. And we don't want anything in this world to take it away. We don't want to have the kind of joy that's up and down all the time. We don't want the kind of joy that we only have when we have the right amount of money, or when our car works, or we have a good job, or the children are in line with all the right ways of thinking and there's no troubles with the schools. We don't want that kind of joy. We want the kind of joy that we have that when the car breaks down, we're still happy. We're filled with joy because that's not important. We want the kind of joy that when our children get out into a little bit of trouble, that we don't get so embarrassed by the world, but we know the children are growing and learning and we're teaching them the Lord, raising them the admonition. We want the kind of joy that comes along with knowing the Lord and that our children are being raised that way. We want the kind of joy that says, if I lose my job today, I still have Jesus. That's the joy that we want to have. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm with me, Psalm 89. And at verse 15. Psalm 89, 15. Blessed are you. You see it? Blessed are you, the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. Look at verse 17. For you are the glory of their strength, and in you favor our horn is exalted. In your favor, our horn is exalted. If you notice in this text, the people have this, they know the joyful sound. They walk in the Lord in the light of His countenance because in His name they rejoice. His name. Remember, God changeth not. Right? And that joy that Jesus was talking about back there in the book of John chapter 16 is the kind of joy no one can take from you. So it's really important, isn't it, that we strive for that joy, that we seek for that kind of joy. Why? Because He says, in your righteousness they're exalted, and God is righteous. And that's never going to change. For our shield belongs to the Lord, verse 18, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Joy. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said that in John chapter 14, verse 15. In John 13, 34, Jesus says that if you love me, again, keep my commandments. In Mark 16, 16, He said, if you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. In Hebrews chapter 10, at verse 25, He said, don't forsake the assembly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, we're told to study to show thyself approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth is an important factor there. Mark chapter 11 at verse 25, Jesus said, forgive. That was a commandment. Forgive, right? Pray. It's a commandment. Be the salt and the light of the earth. Commandment. The light of the world. A commandment. Honor your father and mother. A commandment with promise. They're all commandments. Turn with me to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I'm not going to tell you the verse until you get a chance to get there. Because you're probably already there, aren't you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, that's a commandment. Rejoice always. That's just as binding as all the other commandments. Rejoice always. And again, Paul said rejoice. You know, but sadly, there are some Christians and, of course, people in the world, but it's mostly sad when there are Christians that are caring about without that commandment in their life. They're not seeking that joy. They're not holding fast. They're not understanding that nothing on this earth is really going to give us a sustainable joy, only that which is in heaven. Only Jesus. You'll not get joy like that from anything physical in this world. You know that, Brother Joe, ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing so good it hurts. People ask me that question all the time, and that's the answer I give them, even if I don't feel good. Because the real joy, even when I don't feel good, that real joy is that I know Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my King. Jesus is my Savior. And there's nothing in this world that can take that away. Brother Calvin, ask me how I'm doing. Brother Calvin, I'm doing so good that if you really knew, if you people knew how good I was doing, they'd be naming holidays after me. Joy. And listen, I'm not talking about being phony. Even when I'm hurting, even when there are troubles in my life, that's the right answer. Now, Brother Randy's asked me a few times, how you doing? And I've actually said to him, Brother Randy, it's been a tough day, tough week. But you know what he does? He lifts me up. But I'm talking about truth here. And I really feel that way. And when I think of Christians that can't do that, when I think of Christians that on a daily basis aren't filled with that kind of joy, I think it's tragic. And so we want to move on. And we want to begin, of course, with a definition of joy. When we define joy, it's a Greek word, chara, and it means joy, delight, gladness by vines. It's closely related to the word grace, charisma. And the gift, it means grace, charisma means the gift, and it means grace and the gift produce joy. Joy is our response to the gift given. Now remember that. My joy is the response to the gift given. Your joy needs to be the response to the gift given. That way, no matter what happens in life, nothing can change that gift. You all know what the gift is. We'll get to it, but you know what it is. In agreement with the definition from Zondervan, the emotion excited by the expectation or the acquisition of good. What's the relationship between joy and the gift? Okay? All right. I'm going to give you a penny. Is that good? I'm going to give you a penny. And what does he say? He shook his head, but the whole time he's thinking, yeah, okay, penny. Now, if it was like a 1938D whatever and it's worth $30,000, that'd be a great gift, but not just a penny. You know, 2008D. Just a penny. But what if I gave you $100? You know, would you sit up a little bit different? And well, yeah, that's nice. But what if I gave you that? I have that at my home, stuck to my filing cabinet. And listen, don't go breaking into my house to steal that 100,000 or million, whatever that is, because it's phony. It's not real. But what if I gave you that? And again, I say that the gift is directly related to the joy, or the joy is directly related to the gift. Think about this. Because there's nothing else in this world, nothing else in this world better than this gift right here. Did you see the gift? Jesus died for us on the cross. Yes, He did. And that was the gift of God, His Son Jesus Christ. He came into this world to suffer and to die for us. But the greatest gift is that His death didn't end Him. His death didn't end Him. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. It didn't end Him. Christ is risen. That's the gift. And that's the eternal gift. And that can never change. Therefore, your joy should never change. John 14, right? Beginning in verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Boy, you should have a lot of joy. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. And when that word you, if you check that all the way back, that's us who believe. That's us who trust the Word of God. That's us. And our joy is in that promise. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto Myself, so that where I am, you may be also. There's joy. Don't let this world take that from you. When you have a hardship, it hurts. You know, talk with a brother or sister, work it out, but remember Jesus. You know, I'm not being a hypocrite. I've had times when I didn't feel too good at all about one thing or another, but boy, it passes fast. Because I just start focusing back on the things above. We can rejoice. We certainly can. Because Jesus beat that old devil. And we can rejoice always. Why? Because He is risen from the dead. Why? Because He's the resurrection and the life. Why? Because whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it, sits at the right hand of God right now, on being an intercessor for us. So not only do we have joy in Christ, joy in the resurrection, joy in eternal hope of eternal life, we have joy because He's between us and the Father, and one day He's going to come back, and we're going to be taken up, and we're going to get to see the Father. Man. Goosebumps. Rejoice always. Apply the principles. What has God given to us? Everything that's good, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from from above, from the Father of lights. That's what He gives us. For everything good in this life. The most valuable gift is eternal life. Romans 6 and 23, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Boy, if that doesn't make you feel good, if that doesn't make you think about joy, if that doesn't make you smile, eternal life, unconditional love, John 3:16, right? Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 6, to the power and the glory, to the praise and the glory of His grace. Why? Because He made us accepted in the Beloved. Joy. It involves freedom from condemnation and sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. That'll never change. Our fellowship with God is eternal. As long as we remain faithful, we have hope in everlasting life. Now, with the hope of everlasting life with God after this life is over, not just here on the earth, we need to appreciate what sin does out there. Sin's the thing that's going to cause us to have troubles and trials and tribulations. Remember what James said, though? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If any man lacks wisdom, we need to let patience have her perfect work. And if any of us lack wisdom, we just ask of God who giveth to us freely. And ask in faith. We need to appreciate what sin does, how it separates us from God. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have what? Separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. We need to understand the power of sin and how being involved in that can separate us. Romans 6 and 23, right? We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. But Revelation 2:18, same thing. And if we do continue in sin, what happens is that we share in that lake of fire which burns with brimstone, that second death. There's no joy in that. So why not just get past all that? Why not just let that not be a spiritual death on our behalf? You know, we don't want to be looking at things from the world's point of view that, well, that's not that bad. And this world's turned upside down. You know that even the news people today are saying that. The world's upside down. They know it. And I don't even know that they're saying that out of a religious sense. But this world's been turned upside down. That prophecy of a long time ago that whatever is good will be called, whatever is evil will be called good, whatever is good will be called evil. Boy. But that shouldn't make us lose our joy. We don't want to allow that. We need to look instead from God's perspective. All transgression is against God, and we know that. Everyone. And so let's remember that and just kind of push sin off to the side. We don't want sin to be something that separates us from God. Isaiah 59 again, 1 and 2. We don't want it to be the spiritual condemnation. And we also ask the question, how can it be? Perhaps, again, that we're looking from the point of view of the world. And so, let's rejoice always. Appreciate the magnitude of the gift. That's something that, as long as you do that, understand the magnitude of the gift on the cross. Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, His blood was shed for our sins, for the remission of our sins. He died a horrible, terrible death with His Father's will in mind. And then He arose from that grave. Think of the magnitude of the gift. Appreciate what Jesus has done. He's reconciled us back to God. Now that all things are of God, who has reconciled Himself through Jesus Christ and has given Him the ministry of reconciliation. And that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. That's what He did. That's the gift. Never forget that. And He's committed us to that spirit of reconciliation. If anyone is in Christ, what does the Scripture say? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You know what's new? Joy. Eternal. Inexpressible. Jesus said, I have spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. John 15:11. John said, in these things we write to you that your joy may be full. 1 John chapter 1:4. Are they liars? They're not liars. Joy. Our joy won't be complete. It will never be complete unless we meditate on these things. That's what Paul said. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Remember what he said? Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. These do. Paul's the one that wrote down the commandment of the Lord, rejoice always. He's the one that did that. If we did believe, we would appreciate that. And we do. And I'm thankful. The terribleness of our sin, that's not what we want to focus on. That's just an absolute contrast to the magnitude of the gift of God that brings that eternal joy. And that's why we just rejoice always. Always. In appreciating the magnitude, we allow ourselves to be more influenced by the world and its standards, we're going to lose our focus. Are these greater to us than receiving the gift of salvation or sin? You have to make that choice. Store up your treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupts, destroys, things are eaten and destroyed, or do you store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy? And when you do focus on heaven, you'll be rejoicing always. Not just on this planet, but when all things come to an end and Jesus descends from heaven with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God, when He raises the dead in Christ, and then those who are alive will be raised together with Him, and they ascend up into the air to be with Christ forevermore in the air, then you'll be really understanding of what it means to rejoice always. Something we don't want to do is to seek joy through emotionalism. And there's certainly a danger in emotionalism. Emotionalism is where emotions rule us instead of the Word of God. It's often a better felt than told kind of religion. Such emotionalism often manifests itself in worship that is characterized by disorderly outbreaks of emotion. Boy, that's a context and a kind of a technical thing, isn't it? But that's when you just get so carried away emotionally that you start shouting and rolling in the aisles and clapping of hands. And boy, then whoever's doing the speaking, you can't hear them. And whoever's doing the speaking gets interrupted. And we're supposed to do everything decently and in order, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. Certainly dangers in emotionalism. But there's dangers in the other extreme too. And I put it to you that those become hypocritical when we think about our love and our rejoicing in the Lord. You know, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, Jesus said, hypocrites, you did well. Isaiah prophesied about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching the commandments doctrines as commandments of men. They're teaching things that men taught. And so we really need to meditate on these things. Is it a command to rejoice always? Is it a command to pray always? Is it a command to be baptized and be saved? Believe and be baptized to be saved. These are all commands. And we need to find a way to fulfill the command of rejoice always. We do. Don't be afraid to rejoice. Don't be afraid. Dead formalism, little emotion, whether it's singing, offering, saying amen, prayers, worship, which doesn't involve the heart, is just wrong. And that's what we just read. Their hearts and mouths, they worship me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Just be careful. Meditate on these things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Now what goes into the mouth, Jesus said, defiles a man. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth is what defiles a man. Matthew chapter 5, and that was 5:11. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Jesus goes on to say, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they are what defiles the man. So rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. When we think about the extreme, there's a story. Probably some of you have heard this. Maybe some here haven't. But the story goes like this. A man walks into a worship assembly, and that could be any one of us. And the preacher, that's me, is eloquently expressing God's love for us. See how I put myself up on that pedestal. And how sin's going to divide us and send us to heaven, and somebody yells, hallelujah. There's a lot of stares going on in the room. Finally, the preacher says that through Jesus Christ we have eternal life. And the man says, praise the Lord. More stares. And everyone's looking now. And one of the members gets up and walks over to that man and simply says, we don't praise the Lord here. And that's a silly story. But don't let that become the truth in your life. There's nothing wrong with feeling good when you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with feeling good when you know that what you're doing is pleasing to the Lord in the acts of worship. You should feel good in the offering. You should feel good during the prayers. You should feel good during partaking of the Lord's Supper. And you should feel good listening to studies and lessons. But it's just, we want to guard ourselves against emotionalism, but we don't want to go to extremes. The bottom line is what saith the Scriptures. Be glad, then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I believe there are many people who would have trouble. And we shouldn't. What saith the Scriptures? Psalm 122, 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, we do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Matthew chapter 25 and at verse 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's why we have joy, because we're waiting for the Lord to say that to us. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, and though you now do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's the joy you should have. That's the joy that I've known the members of this congregation to talk about, to live. That's the joy that no one will ever take from you. Allow the Word of God to do its work. You see that Jeremiah 15, verse 16? Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Let the word of God do its work. Be filled with the joy. The word of the Lord teaches us. And we've been called out by God, called out of the sin and the consequences of sin, and called into a wonderful relationship with Him. Lots of reasons for joy. Remember God's great gift. Joy is a natural reaction, and it's also a wonderful blessing. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Remember that? In your name, they rejoice all day long, your righteous judgments. They are exalted. Psalm 89, verse 15. You know, you want joy? Seek to understand what the Lord wants. We're a blessed people. Look at the text. We're a blessed people. We walk in the light of the Lord. In His name we can rejoice all day long. What a great gift. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 8. In the book of Acts chapter 8. The song of invitation is, I am resolved. In the book of Acts chapter 8, we have an account of an Ethiopian eunuch, an evangelist named Philip, who was told to go find this eunuch, and eventually he preached Jesus to him. And as we look at this account, what we do see is that eunuch, he didn't know anything. In fact, he asked Philip to come and tell him what the scriptures meant. And so Philip got into the chariot, and he began to teach him out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 7 and 9. Talking about Jesus, the one who was led like a sheep to the slaughter, a lamb before its shearers. He opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. In verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth at the beginning of the scripture and preached Jesus. And verse 36 says, now, when they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, that you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. If you've not been baptized into Christ, if you've not obeyed the gospel tonight, tonight's the night when you can begin this kind of rejoicing. You can do that tonight. There's no reason to wait. Why would you wait? If you've been not rejoicing because of some sinful habits that you have in life that have been separating you from God and causing you to lose that kind of joy, you can come back tonight and you can be restored. It's all up to you. The invitation now is that if you have any need whatsoever, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.